Well, it's good to be with you again this week. I'm going to continue our studies that he began us on about mid-June of this year. I hope you've been listening to all of those messages. He's laid such a foundation at this point. If I try and do any review at all, that's going to take up the whole hour. Well, first off, I thought I'd change up the look a little bit today. I just felt like doing this from my living room. This is where I normally do most of my prayer. It's cold here in Oklahoma today, 20 some odd degrees, and I've got a little fire going in the fireplace over there, and I just thought I'd shoot one from my living room here. And this chair is like almost part of me. This is where I do the vast majority of my prayer. Sometimes I walk and pray, but a big part of the time it's right here. So welcome to my prayer room, my living room. Let's start today by reading Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. And the reason I want to do that, we're going to talk about some aspects of renewing the mind today that we're going to go a little beyond the normal. We're going to talk about some things that I don't know that I've ever really heard talked about in church. Maybe a little bit, some of it. But with all of my heart, I believe we're coming into the greatest revival that the world has ever seen. And nothing like it has been seen before, meaning we're going to have to do some things that we haven't done before. Let me just read it, just refresh our memory. We're going to read Romans 12, 1 and 2, and then we'll begin. And we'll just see where the Lord takes us, how far he'll let us go. I beseech, Romans 12, 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And again, last week we talked quite a bit about that. I'll put you in remembrance just a little bit. Every soldier does this. My dad did this. He had to present his body during World War II to the United States military. He'd only been married 3.5 months, I think it was. Now, freshly married, and then gone for 4 years fighting in Germany. What did the military need? They needed his body. And, when you do that to the military, then they take responsibility for meeting all your needs. They provided his uniform. They provided his ammunition. They provided his weapons. They provided his training. Transportation. They got him where he needed to be. They gave him his assignments. But see, Jesus said the same thing about the kingdom of God. He said, if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, in other words, put those things first, just like a soldier in the military, I present my body to you, Lord. Have your way with my life. He said, if you'll do that, then all these things will be added unto you. And that's exactly what the military does. If you seek the Lord first, what does that mean? Well, you're going to live where he says live. You're going to do what he says do. Anyway, you could do multi-lessons on that alone. Well, that's all involved with presenting your body a living sacrifice. It also may mean sometimes getting in shape. Sorry, people. Boot camp. He may say, lose 30 pounds. He did to me one time. Actually, he said, lose 40 pounds. When I was driving the trucks. Yeah, sure did. Say, well, what do you think present your body means? When you go to boot camp, you lose a big part of control. You're going to eat what they tell you to eat. You're going to exercise. And anyway, see what I mean? Gary, you done gone to meddling. Well, I know. But it's in the Word. So there's presenting your body a living sacrifice. We could have multi-lessons on that alone. But let's look at verse 2. It's because, and. See, when somebody says and, it means they're not through talking yet. So you're going to present your body, which is your reasonable service. That's your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now that's the aspect today, renewing the mind. And the basic levels of that, of course, is, well, we always recommend read the Word of God. And Pastor Dave said he has a wonderful series on how to meditate God's Word. I think the actual title is Meditation, Imagery, and Delivery. I'm telling you, it changed my life. It's the best I've ever heard, still the best I've ever heard. After I heard that series, now Sue and I had already been Christians and Spirit-filled for 12 years. I had 9 books on my bookcase about how to meditate God's Word by various people. And they're well-meaning, you know. But I'll just tell you the truth. After I heard Dave's series and the Holy Spirit just witnessed to me, that's the truth, I threw all those away. And if you haven't heard Dave's series on how to meditate God's Word, you need to hear it. You need to hear it today. So, because it's how to do it. Anyway, I can't teach on that. I'd love to. But then there's a step beyond there that Dave teaches where he talks about assimilating the Word of God. And that also changed my life. And I haven't assimilated all of the Old Testament, but I have assimilated the New Testament. Gary, what does that mean? Now, see, if you have to ask me what assimilating the New Testament means, then that lets me know you have not heard Dave's series. And you don't need me to teach you. Dave is a better teacher on it than I am. Go to daveroberson.org, find the series, there's on the left of his homepage, series teaching, then scroll down on that page until you find assimilating God's Word. I don't remember assimilation of the Word, but it has that word assimilation in it somewhere. That's part of renewing the mind, okay? You got to start thinking God's thoughts. Well, thank God he's given us his Word. And the Old Testament is full of types and shadows of Christ. But to me, you need a good understanding of the New Testament before you really start trying. You can get very legalistic easy in the Old Covenant. Again, I'm not teaching on meditating God's Word today. We're going to teach about renewing the mind. Meditating God's Word is part of it. Praying in tongues is part of it. 1 Corinthians 14:2 says, "He that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. No man understands him, howbeit in the Spirit he speak in mysteries." Dave used to tease us. He says, "All right, now let's see. We know that when you're speaking in tongues, two things are going on. Number one, you're speaking to God, not man. Okay? And mysteries are being communicated." Okay? He would say, "Now, how many of you think while that's going on, you are explaining mysteries to God?" And of course, we all laugh because that's ridiculous. God understood everything many millennia before you came along. Now, he is communicating mysteries to you. And it's not only the revelation and understanding of his Word. It's definitely is that. But see, Dave would say it this way. It's everything Christ is in you, to you, and through you. See, that includes your calling. That includes your life. It includes everything in your life, really. The Holy Spirit so wants to be our partner, our friend, our counselor, our helper. You know, if we had time today, we could do a whole lesson on the paraclete, just that one word, the helper, the paraclete. And all the many ways that the Holy Spirit is our helper and our friend and our counselor. He is the friend that'll stick closer than a brother. There's no end to the counsel and the wisdom that he brings. So, I know who I'm speaking to. I know that you're good students here. If you're still listening to these messages, if the enemy hasn't been able to run you off and you're still listening, you're a goner. I know already that the devil's thrown everything, including the kitchen sink, at you, trying to run you off, and you're still listening? You're still here? What's wrong with you? Well, you're a goner. You're in love with Jesus. You're sold out for the kingdom of God, and I am too. And it doesn't matter. Here comes another kitchen sink. Well, you just duck and keep praying, you know. Okay. All right, I feel we're going to get into it now. We're talking about renewing the mind. So it starts with God's Word, starts with praying in other tongues, so you're praying the very mysteries of God. It also comes about being a doer of the Word. Do you know you'll never get off the milk until you start doing the Word that you've heard? That's right. We could go to the book of Hebrews, and he tells those people, you need to have milk again. He says, by this time, you should be able to have meat, but you've become like people that's got to have milk again. And he tells them why. He says, you've not been exercising your senses by doing what you've heard. If you only hear it and never do it, the Word of God will always remain milk to you. It will never become part of you. See, you got to become a doer of the Word of God, not a hearer only. I'll just tell you right now, there's a lot of people that love hearing the message taught by Dave Roberson. They do. They love it. They'll come. People have moved across the country to come to the prayer center in Tulsa. We're going to do this. We love this. But they don't ever really do it, not in a consistent way. And it's just a matter of time then. They'll wind up dropping out. They'll leave. They'll go somewhere else. And why? Well, because they didn't actually do it. And I mean consistently. See, you came too late to tell me it doesn't work. I was in a position where God had me in the perfect job, and I actually did it from the beginning a lot. Everything Dave said would happen began to happen. Everything. Came too late to tell me it doesn't work. It does work. And the only thing that really changed in the beginning was praying a lot in other tongues. I already had a lot of Word in me. But anyway, I know that it does work. And hopefully you do too, because hopefully you're also one of those that are a doer. Not just a hearer, but a doer. Now, when it says, be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. The word transformed there, as you know, is where we get our word metamorphosis from. And it's exactly the word that you use for when a caterpillar goes into the cocoon and goes through that transformation process and comes out a completely different looking creature, and not just looking, he's got wings now. It's a butterfly. It didn't have wings before, couldn't fly before. And I love how Alan Taylor says it all the time. He says, you know, a caterpillar can't just make the decision, my destiny is to be a butterfly. I'll just start flying today without going through the metamorphosis process, without going through the cocoon. I know my destiny. Maybe it read, you know, the caterpillar Bible, and it saw at the end he's supposed to fly. You know? Okay, I'll just choose to fly, but I don't want to go through that metamorphosis. I'll just start flying. So the caterpillar goes to the edge of the leaf, if you can pretend with me for a minute. I can fly, and he jumps, if caterpillar can jump, jumps off the edge of the leaf. Well, what's going to happen? Curse splat. He's going to wind up on the ground. Because even though it is his destiny to be a butterfly, he can't just choose to be a butterfly without going through the metamorphosis process. Now, I studied that one time. If you want to see something, let me just tell you, the metamorphosis process for a caterpillar is no fun. First off, you go into this cocoon. It is totally dark in there. There's not a window. There's not a glimmer of light. I mean, I don't know if a caterpillar can think. I can relate it to us, though, when we go into prayer and we go into fasting. Everything in your sense man goes, I don't like this. This is darkness. I'm hungry. Leave me alone. Let's go do anything but this. I'd rather mow the lawn than this. Now we're going to pray. No. Anyway, I studied the caterpillar process. Do you know the caterpillar, while it's in that cocoon, literally dissolves? I mean, chemicals are released and it literally dissolves, becomes a liquefied thing in there. Then it starts coming back together. But it comes back together completely different than how it went in. And even then, it's got to break out of the cocoon. And if you don't want to help it, I've read stories about people that try and help the little butterfly get out of the cocoon. And the thing of it is, it part of its process of change is getting enough strength to break out of the cocoon. And as it does that, then it's got enough strength. Once it breaks through, now it can fly. If you try and help it, it doesn't obtain that strength. There are just so many lessons taught there. But now get this, the process of metamorphosis, let's say it another way, the process of transformation is not pleasant while you're in it. It's darkness. You feel like you're being disassembled. You feel like the Holy Spirit, he starts, we've been going through what he calls this purging by fire for years. And my goodness, just about the time you think, well, surely I can't have any more strongholds. Surely they're all gone now, all of my, you know. And you keep praying and the Holy Spirit shines the light on something else. You know how Dave would say, you know, when you start praying in other tongues, it's like the Holy Spirit goes up into your mind, like up in the attic of the house, and starts shining the light in there. And you know, if you usually when you go up into an attic, you know, and you shine the light, you see a lot of dirt because nobody's cleaned up in there. And you say, oh, look at all the dirt that this light brought. And people will, a lot of times when the Holy Spirit starts showing them their own strongholds and things about themselves that's got to be purged. I'm just going to pick things, you know, like greed, lust, pornography, jealousy, things like that. And they go, oh, you know, I haven't faced that about myself in years, but now, see, it's got to be not only seen, it's got to be dealt with. And that's why people drop out of, one of the reasons why people drop out of prayer. I don't like this. Well, see, that's got to be disassembled. That's got to go. Strongholds have to come down. Wrong thinking has to come down. Dear Lord, when I think of the wrong doctrine that I believed, when Sue and I, we didn't know it was wrong doctrine. 1992, I'd been a good student for, what I mean, I'd been a good student of the TV preachers for 12 years, you know, and I don't want to mention any of them by name. And they taught me a lot of good things, and I don't mean to disparage them really, but they taught me a lot of bad things, especially in the area of what I'd call kingdom finances or prosperity. That's what I knew, that's what I'd heard, that's what I believed. I thought it was true until I started doing this message, started getting in the cocoon for myself. What do you mean by that? Start praying myself, not just depending on Dave to spoon feed me revelation knowledge every week, which I did. Thank God I let him. But I started praying in the Holy Ghost myself. And I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost is a good teacher. He's more than a teacher. He is your private mentor. See, there is a difference between a teacher and a mentor. When you go to class in school, there is one teacher and many students. I remember when my first year at Oklahoma State University in engineering school, there was like, I'm trying to remember now, you do realize that's about 50 years ago, but there was something like 3,000-4,000 of us students that freshman year in orientation class. And somewhere in there, he said, we're all sitting in this big auditorium thing, you know, where you can get all of us in there at once, orientation day. He says, now look to the person on your left. Hey, how you doing? Okay, I'm Gary. Hello. Look to the person on your right. Hello, I'm Gary. Nice to meet you. He says, now, even at the end of this first year, two of you won't be here. In other words, we're going to lose 2/3 of you in the first year. Oh, my goodness. Well, those numbers are pretty good. And by the time graduation time came many years later, there's only a few hundred out of those thousands that actually graduated. Well, we're getting to renewing the mind. Well, sure enough, I began praying in other tongues, and the Holy Spirit lying upon, the same way I had been taught wrong things, the Holy Spirit began disassembling those wrong things through little teaching visions. Dave, I was also listening as quick as I could to the teaching series by Dave, and Dave would talk about, you got to learn how to meditate the Word of God. You can't be lifting a scripture out of context. It means what it means in the setting God gave it. Well, when you start doing that, oh my goodness, the Holy Spirit began showing me line upon line, this is wrong. You got to let that go. That is wrong. You got to let that go. And these were foundational things in me that I would have swore in a court of law on my hand on a Bible that it's true. But the Holy Spirit showed me it wasn't true. So it's like he had to tear all that stuff down till I'm on like a slab, a foundation. Then he started rebuilding it, line upon line, precept upon precept. Well, all of that is part of renewing the mind. So there's that aspect of understanding truth as it comes directly from Scripture. Over the course of time, he also started talking to me about my calling, what it is he wants me to do. Gary, why do you do what you do? Well, because he told me. I found out what my calling was. I didn't know it in the beginning. I probably assumed, I grew up in a certain denomination where they said everything had passed away. There was no apostle today, no prophet, so forth. The only thing left was pastor and missionary and maybe Sunday school teacher, Well, but I found out that's not the case. Again, thank God for the Holy Ghost. And then one day he just began talking to me about my personal calling, what it is I'm called to do, and I found out I'm a teacher. People call me Pastor Gary. I can fill in for a pastor. I can pray for you, but I'm not really a pastor, never will be a pastor. Even if people call me pastor, I don't care. You can call me whatever. But I am a teacher in the body of Christ. And he's always dealt with me along those lines because that's what I am. That's what I do, and I'm... But it's wonderful to find out what you're called to do because you'll love it. If you wind up doing what you love to do, what's that old saying? Do what you love to do and you'll never work a day in your life. and the Lord, he provides for us in the process, We don't sell anything. We don't do anything for money. Of course, if people want to help, well, thank God, they're welcome to help us. But it's wonderful. The Lord is our provider, and he has been for a long time. Well, I don't know how long I've been talking. Let me look here. And I still haven't even got to the main, hardly started what the Holy Spirit wants to talk with you about. So, okay, I guess that's enough review. I guess what I'm saying is if you haven't taken advantage of all of those wonderful teaching series at daveroberson.org, please, start incorporating that. With the devices we have today with my phone, I can be listening to Pastor Dave. I have the, ear pods, and you probably do of some kind. And in my daily work, while I'm driving, I can be listening. I can be praying in the Spirit at the same time. Listen, you can catch up pretty quick if you want to. You can catch up pretty quick. Now, today we're going to start, he wants to talk about renewing the mind. And what I'm doing now, I'm connecting up, starting right now in today's lesson, with all the teachings that we've been doing since middle June of this year. Starting with, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. And then he did several weeks on the sower sows the seed. And we talked about the elm tree. We talked about how the ground would, why does a fence post rust? And the ground is trying to grow that seed. And then we talked about the vine and the branches and how Jesus, while he was on while he had his own body on planet Earth, he was the branch. The Father was the vine in heaven. Jesus was the branch on Earth. Fruit appears on the branch, and on Earth is where we need the fruit. So while he had his own physical body on planet Earth, he was the branch, and Isaiah prophesied about that. But then in John 15, he starts changing, he waited till John 15, 14, 15, 16, 17, all of that happens just hours before the cross. Because what's going to happen now? He's going to go through the transformation process of death, burial, resurrection, and then ascending into heaven, being glorified and seated at the right hand of God. Now, he is the one in heaven, seated at the right hand of God. Now, Jesus is the vine. He does not have a body on earth except through us. So now he says, Jesus says, he is the vine. We are the branches. And where does the fruit appear? The fruit appears on the branch. And the Father is the husbandman. And even if we're bearing fruit for the kingdom, the husbandman, He prunes away the suckers. He prunes away things in our life. Some of it might be sin. If it's sin, it's for sure got to go. But some of it's just weights. It's just things that slow us down, things that my grandfather, when he would cut those suckers off, he'd say, these things just suck the life out of the vine, but they don't produce any fruit. Well, the Holy Spirit's like that. And he'll purge a lot of things out of your life. Not necessarily sin, they're just weights. They're just stuff they're burning daylight, but they're never going to produce any fruit. So in the context of all that, okay, we're coming into this revival, but now there's a renewing of the mind beyond that. See, we are born again, spirit-born children of Almighty God. God is a spirit. At our core, we are a spirit. I know it says we have a spirit. We have a soul. Your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord. I understand that. You see, Jesus said God is a spirit, and we're made in His image. We are a spirit. God also says, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. So He calls His spirit my spirit. Well, see, I don't totally understand all those things, but I understand enough of it to function. And that's what today's lesson about is, we're going to have to allow the Holy Spirit to renew our mind enough to where when the Lord says things to us, it's not so, can I say, bizarre, crazy, what? Well, you'll see what I mean here in a minute. Because if we don't begin to hear Him on that level, it's going to be really hard for the Holy Spirit to lead us into what really the Lord has for us to do. You'll see what I mean here in a minute. Okay, we're talking about renewing the mind. Now I've got to lay one more foundation before I get into it, otherwise you're just going to click it off. In Paul's letter to the Philippians, he talks about Jesus, who's always been God. Well, not Jesus. The man Jesus has a beginning. The Word, the Son of God, has no beginning. There's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And the Word is God. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. But in Paul's letter to the Philippians, he tells us that basically Jesus, now He was always divinity, don't get me wrong, but He laid aside, and how He, you know, you'd have to be God to be able to do this. He's still God, but he made a decision. I want to try and word this correctly. Not to ever use any advantage that He had as being God, even though He was God. Emmanuel means God with us. He is, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. But see, in Hebrews 12, it tells us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Jesus didn't do anything as God. He never partook of any privilege, any ability, because He was God. Now see, if He did, and this is where you got to make a separation in your mind. This is part of renewing the mind right here. Because if He did it as God, well, that certainly eliminates us, doesn't it? I know I'm not God, don't you? You know, I'm a son of God. Adam is called a son of God, but he wasn't deity. God never intended for him to be deity. God never intended for Adam to speak and create planets. But He did intend for Adam to have dominion on this earth. He made Adam the boss. He made Adam the Lord of this earth. And Adam, of course, sold that out when he believed what Satan said instead of what God said. Anyway, so many lessons there. I can, boy. When you have a teacher's, when you're calling as a teacher, and you want to help people, every time you come to certain spots, your mind goes like six directions because there's so many things to teach right there, and I don't know if you know them, you know. And so my tendency is to like, you know, start going down each one of those. And if you do that, then you never get the lesson done. So, for today, I'm listening. If you want to know what's going on, I've got to let him single mind me through this lesson, because there's a certain thing he wants you to understand. So, okay, there it is. Now, Jesus, even when it comes to him renewing his own mind, he did not do it as God. You have to understand, Jesus, the man, was born a baby. He was not born knowing the Hebrew language. Not the man. And he did not allow himself to reach over into his divinity and, oh, now I know it. No. He had to learn the language the same way we learn our language that we speak. He grew up as a man. Now, do you know there was a day when Mary, no doubt, told him the story of the angel coming and speaking to her? You know, there were rumors that Jesus grew up with. A lot of people didn't believe that Mary had an immaculate conception. And I'm sure the rumors abounded that Jesus was not legitimately born. And there came a day when Mary had to tell Jesus, the boy, the young, and I don't know what, I know it was before age 12. Well, you'll see that in a minute. But somewhere growing up, now we're talking about renewing the mind. Sometime growing up, because he didn't allow knowledge to come over from his divinity. Somewhere, sometime growing up, Mary had to tell him, Joseph is not your father. Why? No. In fact, no man on earth is your father. What? Your father is God. And she had to tell him the story about the angel coming. You know, the power of the highest is going to come on you and overshadow you, and that thing conceived in you shall be called the Son of God. She had to tell Jesus that. And Jesus, now here's the renewing of the mind part. Jesus, like anybody else, has got a choice to make. Do I believe that? What? Joseph is not my father? God is my father? No man on planet Earth is my father? Now, his little mind, and we know it was before age 12, because at age 12, they went to Jerusalem. Today we would call it a bar mitzvah, I think. But for the celebration, and while they were there, you know, they left after they made their offering and everything. And they found out Jesus wasn't with them. They thought he was with them. So they had to turn around and go back, and they found him teaching. And in the course of that conversation, Jesus said, wished you not, in the King James, did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? And he certainly wasn't talking about the business of Joseph. Joseph was a carpenter, but he's in the temple teaching the Word of God. So he's talking about his Heavenly Father. So we know that before age 12, the mind, the little boy mind of Jesus had to be renewed to the knowledge, no man on earth is my Father. God is my Father. And absolutely have that sink into him. I want to say it again, down to his socks, if they wore socks, probably didn't. Down to his toes. That knowledge had to become bedrock in him. Are you ready for some mind renewal? Take your Bible and go over to Matthew chapter 23. I should have already had it. Well, I do have it marked. Okay. Matthew 23. I want you to look at verse 9. Now, you got to understand, we know this is before the cross. These people have not yet been born again. But Luke 16 tells us that from the baptism of John on, from that day forward, after Jesus was baptized in the River Jordan by John and the Holy Spirit came on him, since John, since that day, the kingdom of God is preached. So Jesus is preaching as to the kingdom of God as though these listeners are already born again, knowing that they won't be able to be born again for about 3 more years until he is crucified, buried, raised from the dead, and ascended unto God, where the new birth is available. But he's preaching it now. Since John, the kingdom of God is preached. Now, so Jesus, we know, somewhere before age 12, his mind was renewed. I mean, really renewed, down to his toes. No man on earth is my father. That, if you think about that, now, that's quite a transformation. No, nobody else on earth up until that point ever had that revelation. But Jesus, at that point, he's the only begotten. But he has to believe it if he's going to accomplish what God sent him to do. And he had to go through a mind renewal as a man because, again, he, even though he is God in the flesh, he made this separation, this distinction, not to do anything as God, not even have the knowledge. Because if he did, again, if he did anything as God, then we're excluded. He's no longer our pattern, but he is our pattern. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. All right. Now, hopefully by now you found Matthew 23. So Jesus had to come to the revelation, no man on earth is my Father. God is my Father. Look at verse 9. Red letters. He says, call no man your father upon the earth. For one is your father, which is in heaven. See, we've read that 100 times, 1,000 times. I'm sure you have too. But see, there has to come a revelation down to your toes for where we're going in this revival. You are not of this world. My earthly father is named O.R. Carpenter. I thank God for O.R. Carpenter. He's gone to be with Jesus now. Good Baptist daddy all the days of my life. Loved the Lord. I remember asking him one time, how do you plan on getting to heaven? He said, by the blood of Jesus and no other way. Well, that's a pretty good answer, okay? Pretty good answer. I still remember, I got to be careful. I had my dad until he was 92, and I thank God for him. He had a deep bass voice. Boy, I loved to hear him sing. You didn't hear him sing very often, but boy, when he did, it was a blessing. And sing in the choir. I could pick his voice out from everybody. But I had him until he was 92. Then he went on to be with the Lord. And I thank God for my biological father. He taught me many things, gave me a good work ethic, taught me to be honest, taught me if my word is no good, I'm no good, and many, many things. But see, in this renewing of the mind process, the day had to come when I had to realize, even though I honor my father, thank God for my earthly father. And see, I know many people had terrible fathers, so I can't help you with that. Except to say this, they're not your father anymore. And even though I reverence my father, and O.R. Carpenter was a great father, not perfect, I had to go through the mind renewal process, and I'm still going through it. Really, he is not my father anymore, and has not been for a long time. I have one father. My Father is in heaven. And I don't mean O.R. Carpenter. I mean God is my Father. Jesus Christ is my Adam. I am part of a new species called the sons of God, the children of God. And he has sent me the Holy Spirit to be my teacher, my guide, and my helper. And see, that's the truth. That is really the truth. I am not of this world. I'm really not. Jesus had to come to that mind renewal. And listen, it will change things more than you realize at this point. But you've got to get it straight. You are not even of this world. Your biological father, you honor him. Honor thy mother and thy father, that it may be well with thee, and that thy days may be long upon the earth. Yes, we honor our physical mother and physical father. But just because they're the father of your flesh, they are not the father of your spirit. You have one father of your spirit, and that's God the Father in heaven. And that's why Jesus said, well, you're in the world, but you're not of the world. And we set our affections on things above, where Christ is, who is our life. And that revelation sets you free from so many of the world's things, but it also sets you free from many of the limitations of this world. See, where we're going in mind renewal. Let me sit and check the time. Dear Lord. Where we're going when it comes to transformation of the mind. Oh, I see. I don't know if I brought a sheet of paper with me or not. Whoops. Whatever that was, I'll get it in a minute. Going back to the sheet of paper. Now, this is a little envelope. Let's just say it's a sheet of paper. And again, to help understand the mind renewal process, years ago I did a series that I called the Hula Hoop Lessons. And I talked about a two-dimensional universe where there's only width and length. In that universe, there is no height, no, not even the concept. You can't even have the thought. It doesn't exist, height or depth. In that universe, it's flat, two-dimensional. Length and width is all there is. And if a creature, if you were a creature that lived in that universe, all you would know. And you could move around, you could do things, but all you know is forward, backward, left, right. You can move all through that universe as long as you go forward, backward, left, or right, which works fine until there's some kind of obstacle in the way. And at that point, for teaching purposes, I would take a hula hoop and I would lay it down on the floor. And like, what if we put this circle down in that universe? And suddenly, these creatures, they're in it, and they bump into it. They can't go any farther because they keep hitting that circle. Well, all they know is left and right, forward and backward. Well, you can go left all you want to, but eventually you're going to come right back to the same spot because you're still inside the circle. You can go backward all you want to, but you're going to hit the circle on the other side. You're going, I'm trapped. This is impossible. This is an impossible situation. There is no way to get past this. And of course, now, if I'm looking down on this universe at this poor little creature as a three-dimensional person, if somehow I can see his dilemma, I might say to him, go over it, just jump over it. But see, the word over and jump have absolutely no meaning to the mind of a two-dimensional creature. There's nothing in his universe to relate to. His mind can't think it. And right now we could go to the passage in Ephesians, I believe it is, where Paul says, God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or think. We can't even think things sometimes that God wants to do. I'll get back to that in a minute. But see, we said, well, just jump over it. And it's going, what? Those words have no, I can't even think that. So what would we have to do? We, with our power, would have to reach down and get the little creature and just lift him over the hula hoop, set him down on the other side, get him out beyond there, and then he's free. Oh, but to him it would be, it's a miracle. It's a miracle. I was inside the circle and God came down with his hand and suddenly I'm outside of the circle. My impossible situation has been solved. And they'd be writing books. He'd be selling all of his books about the miracle of God. And we're looking down on it as a three-dimensional creature going, golly, that's just normal where I live. See, what we call miracles, God calls normal. This is just what he does. See, we are three-dimensional creatures, but where God lives. He created this world, this universe, what we call everything. Well, the creator, by definition, is greater than the createe. What dimension? We're three-dimensional beings. What dimension does he live in? 11, 12, 50,000? He can do things that's hard for us to even... We can't even think of the things. And let me give you a few examples. See, now we're going to leave the two-dimensional. We're talking about our three-dimensional world. See, we think in three dimensions. To us, things are possible and things are impossible, based on our natural mind and our experience and the laws of physics that govern this world. And there are laws of physics. But see, there's laws in the spiritual realm that override the three-dimensional physics of this natural world. Now let's just take a very few examples from the scripture. You remember the time Jesus told the disciples, "Let us cross over to the other side." All right, so they get in the boat and they're headed to the other side. Jesus goes to sleep. He's taking a nap in there. And a great storm arises. Now, there's so many lessons we could teach, but I'm going to stay on track, I hope. Pray for me. So they're going to the other side and a great storm arises. Now, many of these men, his disciples, were fishermen. They had spent their lives on that same sea. No doubt they have weathered all kinds of storms. And so no doubt they're doing what they know to do. And I don't know whether the ship had sails or if it was strictly oars or exactly what they had. But whatever they had, they're using all of their natural ability and all of their accumulated knowledge from all those years of fishing. And no doubt, I mean, at one point it says the ship was filling with water, so no doubt they bailed somehow, you know, some kind of a bucket, I'm sure, was standard issue in there. They were trying to empty the boat out and doing everything they know to do, straining on the oars, if they had sails, I don't know. I don't know the details, but I do know this. They used all of their natural wisdom to solve this problem. And it just kept getting worse to the point they thought they were going to die. So you know the story. They wake Jesus up and, "Master, don't you care that we perish?" Don't ever think the Lord doesn't care. That's why he told them they had no faith, one of the reasons. But anyway, now he does something. Notice Jesus, with his mind, who has been renewed to a much higher level as a son of God, as the Son of God, don't throw no rocks. At that point, he's the only begotten Son of God on planet Earth. Notice he doesn't grab an oar to help that way. He does not grab a bucket, start bailing out the water. No, he does something that to the three-dimensional creature doesn't make sense at all. He speaks to the wind. And not only does he speak to the wind, it obeys him. This is mind renewal to the possibilities of a different world than what three-dimensional creatures even think. What? Who is this man, Nico? Who is this man who speaks to the wind and the waves, who speaks, and the wind and the waves, they obey him, because a great calm came, and they wind up getting to the other side. Now, mind renewal. Speak to the wind. I have no doubt the Holy Spirit probably instructed him to do that, but I can't prove it. But however, somehow he knew to do it. His mind was renewed to a higher existence, a realm that is higher than what we call our three-dimensional world. He called, by his action, he employed physics from the spiritual realm that overrode the physics of this natural realm. And he did this all the time. He did it with diseases. He would speak to leprosy. He would just speak the word, and the leper was cleansed as he went. He would speak, and the centurion's servant was healed. He operated in a realm that three-dimensional creatures, the natural man, does not even think. Don't even think like them. How about speaking to the tree? Remember the fig tree? And he came, and the tree had, he was hungry, and the tree had leaves, but when he gets there, he didn't find any fruit on it. We go, get the chainsaw. This tree's no good. We would use something in the natural. Or they didn't have a chainsaw. Just bring the axe, I guess. Bring the axe. We're going to cut this thing down. But see, Jesus, again, he employs the physics of a different realm. His mind has been renewed to function on a different level than three-dimensional creatures even think. He speaks to the tree. He just speaks to it. No man eat fruit of thee again forever. And at first it doesn't look like any change. You ever speak to something that looks like there's no change? At first it looks like there's no change, and they go to Jerusalem and he does what he does. But then when they're coming back, the fig tree is dried up from the roots, and they can sure see it now. Peter says, Master, this tree that you cursed it, it's dried up from the roots. And then Jesus, again now, he is prophesying, if you'll allow me. He is doing what Luke 16 says. Since John the Baptist, since the day that Jesus was baptized by John and then baptized by the Holy Ghost, since that day, the kingdom of God is preached and every man presses into it. Okay. So he's preaching the kingdom of God. They saw what he did, speaking to the tree. Well, he turns right around. You can read this in Mark chapter 11. He starts telling them, look, if you have faith, here, let's just, instead of me, I don't want to take a chance on misquoting it. We got time. We're getting close here. Go over to Mark 11. I know this is real familiar to you, but it's familiar in knowledge. It's not real familiar to us in practice yet, but it's going to be. So Mark 11, we'll back up to verse 20. So in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. Now, boy, have faith in God. He's about to say something to them as though they're already sons of the Father, Father God. They're going to be. So he's teaching the things of the kingdom, knowing they won't really have God as their real Father for about three more years. But they're going, when they get born again, God becomes their Father, the same way that he's the Father of Jesus at this moment. So he's telling them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, not just the tree, you do know a mountain's bigger than a tree, looks more impossible. I mean, it's impossible to, we think in three-dimensional terms, it's impossible to speak to a tree and it obey. Jesus says, I ain't nothing. You can speak to that mountain. Whosoever shall say unto the mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now, I could go on with the next verse too about prayer, but let's just stick with this one for today. How are you going to have that kind of faith in God? Well, your mind's going to have to be renewed. And I mean, we're going to go through and are going through a transformation process that's difficult. We're like the caterpillar. Sometimes when you're in the meditation mode, prayer mode, fasting mode, you almost feel like you're shut up in a cocoon. Your flesh doesn't like it at all. As far as your flesh is concerned, this is terrible. I'm being dissolved. I'm being like a little caterpillar being dissolved inside of its cocoon. But see, without that, you don't ever come out the butterfly. Without that, you don't ever fly. When he's telling them, have faith in God, now he knows. He's preaching what's coming to him. Because listen, Jesus spoke the words, but it was God the Holy Ghost that dried up the fig tree. A lot coming on that. Have faith in God, he says. Have faith in God. When I speak as God's Son, when I speak the will of my Father, the Holy Spirit, he does what I say. Meditate on that one. See you again next week. Bye-bye for now.